This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Yesterday on Lake Effect, we talked with two prominent elected officials about the lessons they take from the events of the past couple weeks in Ferguson, Missouri. But around the country, the debate is being driven as much by regular citizens as it is by the people in charge. Despite the fact that these events took place hundreds of miles to the south, when Milwaukee Public Radio put out a call for people to take part in a roundtable conversation, we were inundated with interest, and so we fit as many people as we could into our recording studio. WUWM's Latoya Dennis moderates the conversation with Kenneth Harris, Claire Van Fossen, Amante Gray, Keith Stanley, Tracy Johnson, and Angela Walker.
You can have a majority-minority city, but everyone that works, especially in city government, doesn't look like the people they serve. That makes no sense. It's not the point about no diversity for the diversity's sake. It's a point about Captain Ron Johnson in Ferguson. Captain Ron Johnson Ferguson is a godsend to the town of Ferguson because of one reason. He's black and he grew up there. And that's how Milwaukee can become a Ferguson. If we decide that everyone, our police force, and everyone can – it happened in Detroit. Everyone lives out the city. They don't look like the people they serve. They come in, do their 8-10 hours, and they leave out. That is a recipe for disaster. Why – it makes no sense. If I could switch this and say, you know what, black people, we're going to go to Brookfield, work in the police department, do everything, and they look, white folks look at us like we crazy. You no, this is my town. I'm going to have my father, brothers, in-laws, FBIs – work in these – I'm not going to – they wouldn't even think twice about that. But for the city of Milwaukee and a lot of my minority communities, there's no – I don't see the problem with it. If people want to be police officers, just sign up. Where there's been 200-plus years of us not being able to even though we wanted to. It has to be a concerted effort to say, listen, we have to diversify not because of the sake of diversity, but because we don't want to end up like places like Ferguson. We want brothers and sisters on the – we want minorities, not just brothers and sisters, black brothers and sisters. We want minorities on the force. We want our Latino brothers and sisters to be able to speak to their people on the south side. So that way it calms racial tensions. If people know, as you mentioned, Ken, when you can look at each other and you can connect with each other outside of just being human beings, but hey – he looks like me. He talks like me. I think that's the problem now that we have right now in the city of Milwaukee is that a lot of brothers aren't respecting the cops because he don't – if he looked like my dad, if he looked like my cousin, if he looked like my brother, it'd be a different conversation. You know what, man? He reminds me of my dad, man. I need to go ahead and plus, there's a way we talk to each other. Right. You know, I can go up to a brother and say, hey, man, come on, what's going on? Okay, man. A white cop from the suburbs, I ain't never dealt with a minority community. They're just asking for trouble when they go up and they kind of, you know, act like they're a rogue cop or a rogue cowboy. It doesn't work that way. I think diversity is important because we want to make sure we don't end up like Ferguson in that point. And it bothers me. I think we're going that direction.
Lessons learned from Ferguson. What can we take?
To realize that racism is still very much so a part of American society and that people need to understand its effects on the black community and not necessarily just accuse black people of having a better wife syndrome, but actually realize and look at what it is and the things that are there. And also, we also have to take another approach and also take a look and reflect on ourselves as black people. What are we doing? Like, what are we necessary? Like, what are we really doing to improve our own situation? And part of that is because of racism. It's the reason why we can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's the solutions to what we face is not just one. We have to pose a hybrid of solutions in different areas, in different pockets of the country in order to uplift us. And like you were saying, the captain in Ferguson, he looks like the people that live in Ferguson. And if we take that down on a smaller scale and take it to education, where most of our black children, they see white teachers. And that translates into when they get older and they see white cops in front of their faces, like the white teachers they saw in their faces that didn't understand them then, and these white cops that don't understand them now. So, I mean, that's a part of the problem. It's a difficult thing talking about race and what are the solutions and what we can do to bring ourselves up. I say one of the things is that we need to come together as black people and also that socioeconomic portion of it. If we can just get black, yellow, brown, green people that's poor together and really do something about the establishment that's working against us and really see it, that's kind of almost like keeping us divided in a way of saying like, okay, black people are poor and white people are poor, but we still have this racial difference, so they're not going to team up to get together and galvanize against the establishment. We got Mexicans over here or Hispanic people over here that don't necessarily want to come around black people or don't necessarily want to come around white people, so let's keep them separated and let's not get them to the point where they say, you know, one common thing that we share with each other is the fact that we don't have anything. And if we can get that portion right, I mean, I don't know how to do it. Because that's a huge number, like 98% of the country versus the 1% when you got dealing with money like that. But if we can understand that in different communities around the country and see that our differences aren't really that much and that our similarities of being poor and not having anything is what needs to bind us, then maybe we can do something.
Time magazine recently ran an article, I don't know if y'all read it, that the next race war is not going to be about race. This is a class war. It is. Race has been long used as a tool, particularly in this country, to keep people who are on the bottom and who are being exploited divided. And it is a very effective tool.
It is.
So, you know, I understand what you're saying, Keith, about, you know, center my community. You can center your community. I am black, first and foremost. I am a black woman. And when I talk about, you know, issues of class and things, I am an intersectional socialist because for me, race, class, and gender are all, when I walk in the room, all of those walk in the room with me at the same time. I'm not just black. I'm not just a woman, and I'm not just oppressed. I am all three of those things at the same time, all the time. Mm-hmm. So when I approach issues, I am looking at them from the perspective of race, class, and gender. And this is a war on poor people in this country. This is not just started, and it will take, as you are saying, Amante, I center my community because I believe that policies that are good for black folks are good for all folks. As far as everyone needs healthy environment. Everyone needs functioning public schools that do what they're needing to do. Everyone needs transit access that is affordable and does what it is supposed to do. Everyone needs living wage work. These are things that unite communities regardless of race. And I can speak to those things centering my community, but they also benefit other communities that we do need to stand together. We are stronger together. And also speaking to residency, if you have people, it isn't just a matter of a person's skin color. I had white teachers that I absolutely loved, that loved me. I had ones that sucked. So, I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is. But, I mean, it's also the mindset that if you are someone that is not invested in the community that you serve, you are not invested, particularly in law enforcement, and invested in and have an understanding of the people that you are serving and see them as yourself. If you are not bringing that mindset with you, when you come in from the suburbs with this us and them mindset and you are in a position of authority, I'm sorry, you are in a position to abuse that authority because it is a those people issue. Our folks in the suburbs are not looking at people in the inner city, particularly of Milwaukee, and saying, that's my other me. That's me. I'm not looking at myself. And media is a huge part of that. It is those people.
We have to remember that in Ferguson, we can't use a long-term solution for a short-term problem. You saw last night how many people were rioting. After a week and a couple days, it's maybe like 20 people, 30 people. Okay, well, what happened to the thousands? Well, being human happened. Over time, it's really not that important. But yet the governor calls out the National Guard and we got all this stuff going on. And it's like, really? You're going to use a hammer on a peanut? You know, you use hammers on nails. You know, so there was that disconnect of – let them get it out of their system, and then let's move to a positive solution. But then we have to remember, you can't tear up your neighborhood because that's a long-term problem. Your problem is short-term. The grand jury is not going to be back tomorrow or next week. They don't even have all the evidence. It's not even in. So we're making long-term decisions based on information we don't have. We think we know what happened, Multiple agencies are investigating it. Let them. We don't have any information. You're not. It takes time to do a thorough investigation. And my thing is, if I want a thorough investigation for the man or woman that's accused of shooting the cop, then I want the same thing for the cop that's accused of shooting the man, because I want the same system to work for both. Because if it don't work for them, it's not going to work for me. Is it a good system? No, but it's the only one we have. And it's the best one in the world. So let's use it to our advantage.
This is how Milwaukee can become Ferguson. Just a couple few points. Politically deaf politicians. If they don't understand how to deal with the African-American community or other minority communities, and specifically the youth, we're setting us up for disaster. You got to have somebody that's connected with the community. Militarization of the police force, it makes no sense to see what some, not the city of Milwaukee, but see what some of the police forces in this country have. And if we don't address that problem, to me it was sad. And I have to admit, sometimes my thinking, as you guys probably could tell, is a little more conservative. But to see a whole troop of my white brothers and sisters bearing down guns to some of those brothers and sisters of Ferguson, it was just an ugly picture. So that's the issue. Removal of the residency requirement. Y'all know how I feel about that. I think it's messed up. Hypersegregation in our community is a major issue. It's not for the sake of just the diversity and desegregate. It's the sake of making sure people understand each other and know where they come from and have some sense of community. I think that's important. Outlets for Youth, I mentioned we got some great programs. It's good that we have some great community organizations and other group nonprofits that are doing some things. We have to continue to do that. These youth, if we don't give them an outlet to expand that energy, they're going to be doing the things they did in Ferguson. And then two more things, can't point on it, media. Media is a major issue in this country. We have to deal with something where every time a black man does something, it's just like, oh my goodness. I don't know if my white brothers and sisters have this, but when I watch the news, I say, I hope this wasn't the brother that did this. Yeah. Because it's almost like, man, because they paint, and like I said, it's underlying racism, because once one brother do it, all brothers are associated with it. Oh, black man did this, black man, and that doesn't happen. You just don't hear that. Other communities, it's an individual thing. When a white man does something, it's that particular white man. It's not reflective of the whole entire community. That needs to change. That bothers me. The last thing I want to say is that this is where we take ownership. Absence of black parents. Yep. I'm sorry. There's too many black parents that will let the streets raise their children. When I'm coming home at 7, 8 o'clock at night from work and I'm seeing kids that are 5, 6, and 7 and older just hanging out with no direction, how dare we talk about racism and we getting beat up? And then I go to other communities, they dropping their kids off to soccer practice. They taking them to violin lessons. They're involved because they know within a certain time frame that you have to give that child every chance they can get so they can make it in this world. And people, I know some people will say, well, they're working hard or doing this. It does not matter. You got with that person to have that child, raise a child. Don't put that responsibility on nobody else.
The issue of the visual, the military being called in, that really caused agitation. And I think Milwaukee, do not do that. and I've seen some of the responses right now from the protests that were happening over the weekend and the rioting that was going over the weekend. And I think it's appropriate. They're saying, let these people riot. Let them be peaceful. And I think for the most part, that's the right approach. I think what's happening is that because the riots and the actions and the looting have nothing to do with what actually happened, we're having this negative perception, and the media is playing this out. So when I look at the media and I see these people rioting and looting, what am I supposed to think? And I think, what are the other communities supposed to think? They're giving us an excuse to have a negative perception. And perception, unfortunately, becomes reality. And I think that's a huge problem that we can learn from. The other thing that really strikes me is that if we're going to get excited about a white police officer shooting a black man, I think we also need to say, how are we going to get excited when a black person shoots another black person? And let's refocus our energy, not saying we need to riot, but let's focus our energy and let's rally around that. And let's have the same amount of attention paid to that, because it's happening much more often than what we see in Ferguson.
Speaking to black on black crime, I'm just going to put this out there. It is a statistical fact that most crimes are committed between people of the same race. What's happening in inner city neighborhoods is heinous and it's painful, but it isn't any different than what is happening in suburbs with white people victimizing one another. We just get more bad press for it because, hey, black people and naturally inherently criminal. I think that what happened in Ferguson also just highlights the fact that we are not in this country as far advanced in race relations as we need to be. How many unarmed black men were killed the same week that Michael Brown was killed? Mm-hmm. Four. Unarmed. This is not new. This is a pervasive problem from one end of this country to the other. And it is not just black men. It is black women. Ayanna Jones was 7 years old when she was murdered in her sleep by police. We have a problem with the way law enforcement is applied in this country, which is why I say it's not the best system in the world. I understand it's the one we've got, and it's better than a whole lot of.
You're absolutely
we,
right.
Lord, we got a lot of room for improvement. Mm-hmm. Take the color blinders off, because it is alive and well here as far as the way that it works in this country. We have got to, and what you were saying about applying equal justice. People in Ferguson are angry for the same reason that anyone who's been following Dontre Hamilton or Corey Stingley or Bo Morrison, we have a problem with black people being seen as inherently violent and criminal, and therefore I am justified in my murder of these people. That is the message, and we have had it. And the black hand that pulls a trigger on a black person is no less culpable than someone white who does it. We live in a very violent culture, and that's one thing that we don't like to talk about, but the whole world looks at us as barbarians because you have to go to Target with an AK-47 strapped to your back. When is that okay? We have a gun problem in this country. We have a problem with violence in this country, and we have a problem with racism in this country. And what you're seeing in Ferguson is the manifestation of all of those things. It will take us to be honest about this country's systemic racism and the way that black people are portrayed in the media and in popular thought, and to say we are all people and embrace our diversities instead of, you know, seeing difference as weakness. And to be able to look at one another and say, yeah, you're not me. You don't come from my community. We don't think the same way, but you're still a person. And I value you as I value myself.
My lessons from Ferguson are systemic racism is alive in the U.S. Within the capitalist system, property is often valued over black life. So there was a lot in the media about looting and rioting and white businesses being broken into. And it was all detraction from the death of Michael Brown. And then just the fact that this is also happening in Milwaukee. When we think about the death of Michael Brown, here in Milwaukee, we've lost Derek Williams, James Perry, Dontre Hamilton. We're under an illusion if we think that this isn't the case in Milwaukee. And I think that outrage is warranted. I agree with Angela that there's a time for rebellion and for outrage, when there's kind of this evidence that we're doing something wrong, it's time to take a hard look at ourselves. And there's not, to me, time or room to try to place blame on the community for what's happening anymore. Not that there ever was, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's past. The evidence is showing us, in my mind, that, you know, we're failing the black community as a city.
WUWM's LaToya Dennis moderated our roundtable on the lessons of Ferguson, Missouri. Our community panel included Kenneth Harris, Claire Van Fossen, Amante Gray, Keith Stanley, Tracy Johnson, and Angela Walker. We'll turn to the world of art next on Lake Effect and find out what it takes to design a world-class exhibit. Keep listening. It's WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.